pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, January 27th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. Dwayne, I never thought in my life that I would start a show like this, but Kobe Bryant passed away yesterday, and I not only live in the soccer world, I also live in the sports world, and I did not know how else to start a show, what else to talk about. It is, like, when we say sad, I tweeted sad, sad day yesterday. It doesn't even quite comprehend. It is the most shocking news, at least in my recollection, in the sports world over the last few years. And I guess I needed to talk about it.
Fair enough. It is certainly. Look, I am someone who's always a little bit, not callous or shallow about it, but I'm always a little reluctant to dive into collective guilt with celebrity often, but this is someone who was clearly shocking because he was bigger than life. You know, before we get really into it, there obviously were some negative aspects about his life that many people know, the rape allegations and eventual settlement out of court, used a homophobic slur and was suspended for that at one point. People, if they are triggered by that, then you know, I acknowledge that, so we should mention them. But beyond that, you know, you certainly look at the latter part of his life, his unfortunately very short life. He was very much turned into a family man. You know, it was very understandable that when this happened, he was traveling to see his daughter play basketball with his daughter's basketball team and her friends, and that was, you know, when this unfortunate incident occurred. So that is something I think even if you have issues with other aspects of Kobe Bryant, you should be able to relate to and acknowledge that there is a loss that is happening there. And there are a lot of people that idolized him, you know, and if not idolized him, certainly respected his basketball talents. I am far from a Lakers fan. I am the opposite of a Lakers fan. I detest the team in a sports hate kind of way.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a basketball guy whatsoever. I can count on my hand the last few games of basketball I watched, and they were pretty much the finals last year. And I used to have a basketball show, but that's not what it's about. And for me, it was just this moment. Of course, he was at Banc of California Stadium last week, MLS Media Day, with his company. Well, he's a big investor in the company, was a big investor in the company, Body Armor, the sports drink. And he was in LA, and there's pictures of him with the MLS players and superstars, and there's a lot of correlations. Kobe Bryant lived 8 years in Italy as a young man, as a young child, and used to play often. He was a big fan of AC Milan and FC Barcelona growing up, all the way to his adulthood, where there's a lot of, I would say, friendship that happened between him and soccer players. Neymar, famously, after his second goal yesterday for PSG, flashed a 2 and a 4 for Kobe's number. There's a lot of relationship, and basketball and soccer, there's a lot of great players on both sides that truly respect and use the other sport to help them. And famously, on a 2016 Sports Illustrated article, Kobe Bryant mentioned that he credits soccer for his vision on the basketball court, learning how to view around him and looking at development of plays in soccer actually helped him in the basketball court. There's a lot of correlations between the two sports, between also Kobe and basketball. And I think of Steve Nash, just the Canadian example of a basketball player that has a love of soccer that is almost equal to his love of basketball. But for Kobe Bryant, that's one of the aspects also, that his investment, his business partnership, were bringing him closer to the soccer world. He was just starting his involvement with Major League Soccer, and that is another sad aspect. And you mentioned Gigi Gianna, his 13-year-old daughter, unfortunately part of the crash with 6 other people, 8 in total, with the pilot. It's a sad news. I don't recall any other morning where I had to scratch my head and look at news, look at soccer news, I was looking at player transfer rumors, and I was like, how can I even talk about them? And so here we go.
Fair enough. Look, yeah, to unfortunately, we all, you know, our thoughts go out to anyone affected by this, whether they be from a distance or you know, celebrity type fandom, or whether they're directly involved. Obviously, our thoughts go out to that. But to spin it more positively now a little bit, you mentioned his influence on soccer in this sport. I would go so far as to say that Kobe Bryant, along with Steve Nash, are two of the most influential people in terms of popularizing the sport in North America. When they were starting their career as basketball players, that's not that long ago, really, in the grand scheme of things, the sport was still very much niche. And I think it is impossible to talk about soccer now and say it's a niche sport anymore. It is absolutely in the mainstream. And a big part of that has to do with people like Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash, as I said, legitimizing it in the eyes of more conventional non-soccer bubble people. And I think that's an influence from a soccer show that we should talk about. You know, obviously he was well known for his love of Barcelona and AC Milan. It makes sense. The Barcelona is always out there, and AC Milan was one of the best teams in the world when he lived in Italy. So that was something that was legit. And as I said, it very much helped to popularize the sport. There's also, I find anyway, I mean, you say you're not a basketball guy, and that makes sense because Montreal as a whole doesn't have a basketball team at a high professional level. They clearly have college teams and things like that. But here in Toronto, the crossover between basketball fans and soccer fans is, that Venn diagram is pretty much just a circle. It's very much universal and a sort of shared fandom.
How should we say this? We've talked about this on air before, but it's the real Toronto. The soccer fans, the Raptors fans are the real Toronto. They're not just a 65-year-old and over white, gray-haired businessman. So there's a big difference, and I agree with you. There's a big correlation of our fandom and of people that we follow and listeners that I know personally that were all in with the Raptors. I see that correlation, and you're right. It's almost a two Venn diagrams so close that almost join in a perfect circle.
Yeah, I mean, there is some that don't, but I think that they would fit that other demographic you just spoke of. They just happen to be maybe they're old Scottish guys instead, right? But yeah, levity aside there, it certainly is a lot of people affected that are regular listeners of this show by this. And as I said, you know, I think that it's important sometimes to have some perspective on celebrity death. But at the same time, if this was someone who influenced you or made you feel, you know, that you wanted to strive to be more excellent in your life, then I understand that mourning. And, you know, I'm not immune to it either. As I said, Kobe's not someone who I ever would have looked up to in any real legitimate way for myself. But that's, again, has to do more with sports than it has to do with the man. Obviously, I was cognizant of the other issues that I spoke of off the top as well. But I do think when I did some research on that this morning, just to make sure that I understand fully the context of that, I encourage you to go back and look at some of the things he said and some of the things he did after. I'm going to put the rape allegation aside and just talk about the homophobic comments that he was suspended for after he did that, rather than just say, oh my God, it was just heat of the moments, whatever, get over yourself. He instead really started to speak to people in that community and ended up in the latter part of his life working within that community to raise awareness and to help make up for that slip in moment that he had back in when he was a player. So I think that's something that you should compliment on, not get dwelling on the mistake that he did make at one point and then admitted to.
Yeah, there's multiple moments in generations in people's lives, and the names I'm gonna mention now are not too equivalent to anything, but it's just how my dad or my parents used to talk to me about stuff. When Elvis died, they knew where they were. They knew what they were doing. When they landed on the moon, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, people knew where they were. 9/11, we all know where we were. And yesterday is kind of a seminal moment similar to this, I think, for me. And unfortunately, it's truly sad, and we're going to have to move on this show very quickly. But it is one of these moments. I know where I was yesterday. We'll always remember where we were when we heard the news. And I have to say, this has nothing to do with soccer. My wife is a singer, and I usually, not necessarily, I don't watch the Grammys and stuff like that. Usually I'm too busy watching soccer and sports. I watched the Grammys last night, Dwayne, and I rarely do that. Actually, was Felt good. Thank you, Alicia. And that felt good. Anyways, I think we should go maybe back to soccer.
Fair enough. Yeah, as you said, it was seminal, and remember where. The only other celebrity death that I can remember that shocked me as much as that was Princess Diana. And that's probably, that puts it in perspective of how big this is, because that obviously was generational, right? That death. Oh, this is similar to a sports fan in particular.
Yeah, it is. We'll be right back after this moment.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Larmay, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, I hope you had a great weekend of soccer. Dwayne and I will break down some games, look deeper into news in the next few days. Tomorrow, Dwayne, starts the Olympic qualifiers on the women's side in CONCACAF. It is going to be a fascinating tournament. Two groups, once again. Group A in Houston, Texas, Costa Rica, Haiti, Panama, and the United States. Group B in Edinburgh, Texas, Canada, Jamaica, Mexico, and St. Kitts and Nevis. Before we continue on looking at the group, the games and stuff, Dwayne, we didn't talk about this before the show, but I know you're aware of it. The Jamaica national team, the women's side, having troubles going into this tournament. A lot of players, well, a lot. Some players, some coaches, some people in the federation, the manager, were not even paid for the Olympic tournament, for past games, for financial troubles for the Jamaica Women's National Team Federation, and this might influence results in Group B.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the Jamaican women's team was bankrolled by Bob Marley's daughter. So this is... You can't get much more Jamaican than that. But at any rate, the point...
Fair enough, yeah.
The point being that you... the Federation wasn't so much supporting them during their historical run to the World Cup as was a private investor. And that private investor, you know, there's... Bob Marley was... I like Bob Marley. Well, lots of us do. And there's a lot of money there, I'm sure. But it's not... It's not a federation. It's not their job to completely bankroll this team. So you can understand how now that maybe there's less attention being provided from outside sources that they're having a little trouble and they're back to their more normal self. And this is a one thing that I was listening to some previews of this tournament over the past few days to prepare myself for it. And one thing that keeps coming up from those that are deep in the women's soccer bubble is that you have to factor in this very stuff, the financing of these teams to handicap this tournament. And in this particular case, what they're doing is that they're prioritizing the World Cup, which you understand. If you only have a finite amount of resources, you probably are going to prioritize the World Cup because there are more spots available. And it is the global branding of World Cup. Now, I don't say that to dismiss the stupidity of the fact that they can't properly fund their women's program. That's shameful. But it is a reality that you have to factor in when you're handicapping. And Jamaica, as you say, as much as they did get to a World Cup, if they were to get back to an Olympics, which is a bigger, there's less spots available, so it's a harder thing to do, would be quite the run, quite the story. And it would be entirely on the backs of those players because the support they are getting is just completely inappropriate.
I was in Jamaica 6 months ago, not even. I stayed there for a bit over a week and talked to a lot of the Jamaican people. Being a soccer journalist, even in my honeymoon, Dwayne, I couldn't truly shake the interview mode off of myself. So whenever I used to talk to the bellboy or used to talk to the person working and giving me a drink, I used to talk about soccer and talk about the country and the situation of the country, the financial situation of the country, of different cities, of Montego Bay, of Kingston, and other places in Jamaica. I don't think we understand the place where it is right now in its history. It's not at the peak. It's on the other side. It's going downhill politically, financially, economically, I mean, and it's not going well. And the way the population described to me how they were living, they used the term, and I did not, I would not use it. They told me, third world situation. So it does shed light a bit more on maybe the extremely high performance we've seen from the Jamaican men's national team and women's national team over the years when you actually put into context their living situation for the ones that are in actually in Jamaica.
No, for sure. And look, this is a problem not just in Jamaica, but across the Caribbean world. And they prior, like you say, there are limited resources, less resources than you'd find in a country like Canada or the United States. But they also choose to use those resources in a way that is not entirely fair in terms of females. It just isn't. That's the culture. That's something that is an ugly part of that culture in many cultures around the world. And it needs to change, but we can't lecture them into changing from a podcast in Toronto and Montreal. So, you know, it is what it is right now. As I said, the TNT one is almost worse. They're not even at the tournament, just absurd. That's St. Kitts and Nevis makes it. So if St. Kitts and Nevis can invest in the women's program and get them into the Olympic qualifying final stages, then I think that should be should be wagging their finger at those other larger Caribbean nations, which have a much greater football infrastructure to begin with. So it's, you know, kind of unfortunate. No, St. Kitts and Nevis, that's it. If we want to get into the nitty gritty of this thing.
If you're saying like, okay, Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, and other places like this, I'm a bit more fortunate, to not say privileged, on some parts. Look who's talking about privilege. But you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's talk about the tournament. Tomorrow it starts. Costa Rica, Panama, 6 p.m. And you know what, Dwayne? This game will be on FS2. In the States, Fox and CONCACAF has agreed earlier this morning, if not late last night, for an agreement. And that does include also the Gold Cup of 2021, 2023, the men's CONCACAF Olympic qualifier, and also the CONCACAF Champions League. So basically, the same deal One Soccer had for Canada, Fox in the United States has it with U.S. Soccer and CONCACAF. And for Fox, I do believe they will use their FS2, FS1, Fox Sports Go, whatever it's called. I would be really surprised to see maybe the final on Big Fox. But at least there's a place for our American brethren to listen and to watch this game and these games.
No, BOTT, I suspect. But they got it, at least, and that's a matter. As you mentioned, just to reiterate, in case you're unaware, the games in Canada are available on the One Soccer platform. So if you don't have a subscription to that, you will not have access to these games. So you know what to do if you're interested.
Exactly. And so you'll Costa Rica, Panama, United States, ED, Canada, St. Kitts and Nevis, and Mexico, Jamaica are all the first game match day one of three in the two group stage. Of course, Canada plays on Wednesday, Mexico, Jamaica on Wednesday also. Costa Rica, Panama, and United States, ED, two games in Group A. Should be fun time in Houston.
Yeah, look, I mean, this tournament is going to be interesting for a couple different reasons. There's a lot of storylines, I think, that are worth following. From a Canadian perspective, we obviously have Christine Sinclair, who only two goals away from the all-time record. We anticipate that she will get this. I would be pretty surprised if she does not during this tournament. So that will be definitely a major story in this country and around the world, around the women's soccer world, when she does accomplishment that. It's a good chance it happens in the first game.
I was going to say, do you have an over-under on how much are you betting? Well, what's the percentages or the odds that it happens versus St. Kitts and Nevis? And will the game versus St. Kitts and Nevis look like when you're playing like U12 soccer and you have one really good player and 10 others and everyone just passes the ball? Would it look like the 1980s Edmonton Oilers where everyone gives it to Gretzky?
Yeah, maybe. The only caveat I'll give to that is that they may choose to actually rest Sinclair during for later parts of the tournament, because that would be the only reason I think that she wouldn't be able to get a couple goals in this one and get it over with. I would think that if you were Canada, you might want to get this pressure or this story out of the way so that you can focus on the bigger stuff. Because if she's still chasing that record in that semifinal stage,
yeah,
you don't know the format of this tournament is there's a winner go home game, which is the semifinal stage. That is really the only game that matters in this tournament in any real way. Well, obviously you have to win to get there, but you know what I mean? It is by far the biggest game of the tournament. The final is just an exhibition. Yeah. It's a chance to play the Americans 9 times out of 10, and typically the Americans win that. Always.
It's a chance to lose.
I mean, always.
Yeah, no, but it'll be fascinating. But I do feel there's a story there. And if I'm Canada Soccer, if I'm Kenneth Einar Moller, and I'm manager of the Canadian Women's National Team against St. Kitts and Nevis on Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern in Edinburgh, Texas, I'm giving the ball to St. Clair, making her score, and then she doesn't even have to be your main piece of your attack. Because she's not truly. And you can actually build this team the way you want it and to make it progress through the tournament. Mexico-Jamaica on Wednesday is also fascinating going forward. The reasons we mentioned earlier, the Jamaican financial situation with the national team, but also Mexico as a similar situation coming from last year's World Cup that they did not participate in. Let's not forget that. That is a salivating matchup also Wednesday at 8 p.m., a doubleheader also in Edinburgh.
Yeah, which is, if you don't know, is a border town on the southern border of the United States. So there should be a significant Mexican crowd there supporting them, which is something Canada needs to think about in the second game.
Yeah, it's not there by mistake. Eh? They didn't put the group B with Mexico and Edinburgh by coincidence.
Yeah, you'd hope not anyway. It'd be a little silly if they did. Yeah, look, the thing with Mexico, too, they're interesting, and they are the second favorite in this group. Jamaica, if they had more backing, I think would be up there with them and close to par. But having not qualified for the World Cup, they have a little something to prove. And also their league, the women's league, which is getting such success on the off the pitch in terms of attendance. It's an under-23 league with no foreign players in it, so you're just now starting to see players that came through that league system come in to the Mexican national team setup. They didn't have anyone on that team that failed to qualify for the World Cup from that league. So we're going to start to see what a lot of us have wondered what we might see in the next level. We'll see evidence of it, of whether or not that league is going to boost their national team program. The logic would be that it does. I mean, it's just like came Premier League on the men's side, right? You'd hope that that's going to eventually lead to a stronger foundation that you build upon for your full women's national team. But it's going to take a few years, just as it's going to take a few years for the Campiel to have a true impact. So there are a couple of players from that league now, so we'll watch them with interest. And certainly it is the team that Canada is going to need to beat, I think, to get the first place in the group, which is pretty much a necessity if you want to go to Tokyo, because crossover game against the U.S. doesn't sound promising.
Does not sound promising. You do not want that. I do not want that. The Canadian Women's National Team do not want that crossover game. Winning the group is imperative for Canada's chances to make it to Tokyo. We agree. And you know what's funny, Dwayne? Tokyo is 6 months away.
And indeed, we'll talk about that on Five Rings this week. Where we will have a regular. Kevin's mouth is repaired, I believe, for the most part. So we'll
mostly
have a full
week
on.
I can smile. I can talk. I'm not in pain. I spent my literal weekend again in bed. I know it's been 10 days since my surgery, and I finally turned a corner yesterday.
All right. So that's good to know. And we'll have our full Five Rings. Might even get a Five Rings bonus out this week. We'll see how things go. Yeah. And it's going to. That you gave me that 6 week notice today, and I was like, "Oh God, I've got to start doing the preview soon."
Oh, you got 6 months, so at least it's a bit more than 6 weeks. But yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Those previews are a lot of work, folks.
Yep, they are. And Five Rings Podcast. If you're an Olympic fan, Dwayne and I have been covering Olympic movement since 2014, the longest running and most listened to Olympic focused podcast in the entire world. Dwayne and I. But on that note, we'll be back tomorrow. If you wanna. Follow us on social media at Kev Laramie for myself, at 24th Minute for Dwayne, and at Soccer Today SPN Live at 10:45 a.m. all week this week, and a little 50 minutes earlier than usually. So we'll be live from 10:45 to 11:15 all week on Twitter. And you can find our podcast version anywhere you get your podcasts, video replay, on YouTube, Facebook, and also on our Twitter page, Patreon feed at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Later today, an interview with Canadian goalkeeper Darren McLeod will be on our Patreon feed, a long-form interview Dwayne realized on Friday. I was there, but I couldn't talk. I had mouth problems, but I was there. I recorded it. Great interview with Darren, and you can listen to it later today on our Patreon feed. But until tomorrow, as always, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.